In this episode of Movie Rollers, we're going to review Labor Day and The Monuments Men. It's time for Movie Rollers. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
Yazdi as well.
Movie Rollers is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news, and general banter in theatres, on DVD, online streaming, or in the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, this show is for you. Greetings.
Hello.
Here we are again, recording.
Yay.
A double session today. We've got two podcasts we're going to record.
With more frequency.
And Amy Adams is staring at me, and I have to turn the page.
Does she have a deep plunging V on?
She does not. Oh. Not in this picture. V-neck. Well, she does, but...
That's a very strange term. You'd have to bleep that out.
See, Rashmi's mind, look, always thinks the worst of me.
I know.
Amy Adams V. I was talking about...
Amy Adams is...
I was talking about her attire.
Her neckline.
In American Hustle. Not her lady parts.
Enough already.
So, yes,
this is becoming laborious.
No segue just yet. We're going to banter a little bit more. You've been watching the Olympics, Yazdi?
Not 1 minute. The only thing I've watched...
like the Olympics?
I love it. I just don't have the time.
So Joe's become an armchair judge.
Oh, do you have like scorecards?
No,
like,
but he finds himself saying, oh, I don't know if that jump was quite good. Oh, look, he's a bit flappy armed.
Here's the funny thing about the Olympics, right? Like, there's a sport like ski jumping or luge, and you watch 2 minutes of it, and suddenly you're a resident expert. Like, I have commentary on the way everyone luges, for example. I'm like, his feet aren't quite pointing right. The other guy did that so much better. And suddenly I'm like this world expert on luge, which I'm totally not qualified to be. But
that's the fun of it.
You think so?
I think those American Idol and The Voice and all those shows are popular precisely because of that. Because everybody judges while, you know. And then
we do Movie Wallers.
And then when they disagree, you know, that's why there's so much passion. Like, oh, I can't believe that's what he said or whatever.
And it's funny, because the Olympics, especially Winter Olympics, it's just like a collection of extreme sports. Like, it's all absolutely mental.
And I believe that no one over the age of 21 should do them because your bones will break and shatter.
It's all like all the snowboarding stuff. You have the luge, the bobsleigh, the ski jump.
Ice skating.
The biathlon, which is amazing. I mean... it's all like nutty, nutty stuff. There's no like running around and jumping over things like the Summer Games.
I don't personally love the Olympics. It just looks too cold for me, the winter ones. But I do like the figure skating.
True.
Although however many times I say I don't want to watch it, nothing stops Joe from saying, oh my God, look at this one. Quick, look at this one. Oh my God, you have to look at this one.
Should I be controversial and say that the Winter Olympics have always felt to me like the lesser of
they
the
are.
Two Olympics?
No, They definitely are.
I'm not judging or anything. I would like to watch them. My fear is if I turn the TV on at 11 in the night, then it'll be 6 in the morning and it'll be time to go to work and I wouldn't have slept a wink.
I keep filling up the DVR, much to Rashmi's chagrin. It was 94% full when we got home today. I was like, I'm going to have to delete something, otherwise I'll be yelling.
Yes.
God forbid I make Rashmi miss an episode of Revenge.
Exactly. Now that's good TV.
Really?
You're
going to go on record to say that's good TV?
It is. I love Revenge. It's one of the best shows on TV at the minute.
I love digging her about that.
I know.
I haven't seen it.
See, how can you knock it? You haven't even tried it.
I reserve my right to be snooty.
Yeah.
My DVR is being taken a hold of by TCM's 31 Days of Oscar.
Oh, what's that? All the Oscar films?
Yeah, all the Oscar films.
No
nonstop.
Way.
They're showing the month before the Oscars, they show, you know, and they'll do like one day, they'll just do like movies which won best cinematography. And
See, Yazdi's bringing us back on track, Joe.
See, Yazdi's a true movie watcher.
He is.
That's what it comes down
to. Recording. I haven't watched any yet. Yeah, but there are lots of movies like I've always wanted to watch, but
yeah,
I haven't
watched. Oh, yeah. That's a really good tip. Good. TCM.
Yes.
TCM. Has it started already?
Yeah. So it's only... So of the 31 days now, only 14 days remain.
Oh, wow. We've missed 14 days already.
When's the Oscars? In 14 days?
6th of March. Yes.
4th
of March, 3rd of March.
Wow. It's coming up.
We need Sunday. We need to do our muggies. We haven't done our muggies this year.
Yes.
We should do that before the Oscars come. All right. Well, let's get on with the episode. We have two movies to talk about today. Labor Day, which I think Rashmi was trying to segue into first.
Unsuccessfully.
I know. It was laborious and trying to get you there.
So, okay. So let's go into Labor Day. This is the latest movie from writer-director Jason Reitman, a director that I think we all are pretty fond of here, although I don't think his last work, Young Adult, went down too well with both of you, but I quite liked it.
I didn't like it.
I think maybe, Yazdi, you didn't review it on Movie Wallace.
Correct.
You saw it after the fact. I really enjoyed that movie. Rashmi found it annoying.
Yeah.
But, you know, Up in the Air, obviously, was his other work, and Thank You for Smoking.
Loved.
So I'm a big fan of this guy. So Labor Day centers around the 13-year-old Henry Wheeler, who struggles to be man of the house and care for his reclusive mother, Adele, while confronting all the pangs of adolescence. On a back-to-school shopping trip, Henry and his mother encounter Frank Chambers, a man both intimidating and clearly in need of help, who convinces them to take him into their home and is later revealed to be an escaped convict. The movie stars Kate Winslet, Josh Brolin, primarily as a main protagonists. Tobey Maguire also makes an appearance here, as well as a few other performances that I haven't gotten in front of me. So, again, Jason Reitman wrote and directed this for the screen, but it is based upon a book that I think is a pretty well-loved book, although not one that I've read. So, who wants to go first with their opinions about Labor Day?
Okay, I love Josh Brolin and I love Kate Winslet, and except for Young Adult, I love Jason Reitman. So, although I didn't love this movie, I enjoyed it. It's not an epic love story that will stay with me forever, but it did warm my cockles before I realized how absurd and implausible the whole thing was. And then I just like the fact that you can't choose who you love and where it appears wash over me. And then I felt somewhat okay. And then I realized how really crazy the plot is to watch. So what I'm going to say is, if you love love, then watch this movie, but it's Mush spelt with a capital M.
Dr. Yazdi.
So I think I might agree with you. I you know, as a big Jason Reitman fan, I have to come out of the bat and say it's not in the same league as Juno or Up in the Air,
right,
or Young Adult even, or Thank You for Smoking. And I think the biggest problem with this movie is one particular plot development, which asks you to believe the ridiculously implausible. And I think everybody's going to get stuck up on this issue. And this movie's not reviewing well at all. And I think it's because people have a major, major problem with that one plot development. And I think you were referring to it as well. But I think once you can somehow will yourself to get past that plot development, the movie has quite a few things going for it. It's, again, not top tier, you know, Jason Reitman by any chance. In fact, it might be a bit of an embarrassment for him. I think he should get back to more of the stuff, more biting stuff that he's doing. But on the whole, this is, I'm not proud of it, but I did enjoy the movie.
Okay.
I'm not proud of it. Joe. For the record, I'm not proud Joe's of it, but I did
really
enjoy it.
Really cynical.
So, I mean, I'm a huge fan of Reitman's work. He has done no wrong. Perhaps Juno was a little annoying, but I won't blame him for that. I think Diablo Cody's writing was more at fault here. And I think what's happened with this movie is, you know, it's adapted from a book. And I think this kind of stuff works better as a book because it would be an incredibly romantic novel. But I can see why he was drawn to this story. And I really think he did a marvelous job of bringing it to the screen because I loved this movie. I mean, really. I mean, the thing was completely implausible, but it totally worked on me. I mean, it really, really did. And I think I forgave it very quickly for that particular contrivance in the plot. And then, like you, Yazdi, just said, okay, this is a bit silly, but I'm just going to let it wash over me. And I thought it was a very effective film. I felt all of the arcs of the story. And I think, you know, it was a little overly sentimental, I think, in places. Bit of a chick flick, really. But really, I thought this movie was really effective.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. You know, it's well acted, it's well crafted. You know, it's a great example of a film where the stakes just get higher and higher. And by the end of it, you're sitting on the edge of your seat just thinking, this is all going to end in tears. But I couldn't quite get over the fact that in what universe would you let a felon cook you dinner? In your own house.
So let's talk about this exactly. I mean, so
right.
The
plot, so
yeah, we have to do this as a kind of a spoiler
it
podcast.
Is a spoiler,
so
right.
We spoiler alert. Be warned: the rest of this review may contain spoilers. More.
Right. But
spoiler
I think,
alert.
But I did like it. I think it's a well-made movie, and it's completely, you know, it's very well acted. It's well crafted. The tension's great, but I couldn't get myself over that hump.
Yes, I mean, I think the central premise of the movie is over a weekend of an escaped convict pretty much, you know, forcibly gets into the home of this woman and her teenage boy. And over the course of those 2 days, you know, they kind of grow to like him and they kind of embrace him.
Yeah.
In more ways than one. And I think that, you know, I think they should have realized that that's too much to convey without, you know, without the luxury of words, you
yes,
know,
I was gonna say.
Visually, it's asking the audience to make a huge leap to believe that somebody would embrace a character like that.
In a book, you can explore those emotions over several chapters, mm-hmm. which means that it's not quite the jump that it appeared to be on screen.
Right. I mean, as a woman, I mean, you know, yes, he was appealing and he was a manly man. And if someone cooked me dinner and did all those jobs around the house, I might grow fond of him. But I mean, I think it takes more than 2 days, and I could even
more meals for Rashmi.
Yeah, more odd jobs around the house. So I think it was just too unrealistic, and I can even understand that this was a very broken woman, and so she was vulnerable, and she was looking for love, and she was looking to be looked after. I can buy all of that even, but 2 days? They should have at least made it 5.
Well, then it wouldn't be Labor Day. It would be
Labor Week.
Yeah. But don't you see that that's exactly the reason why, I'm not one of them, but this is exactly the reason why the movie is getting such a harsh reception, because people find this very offensive. You know, can you imagine this woman, this lead character, the Kate Winslet character, she is broken. And the primary reason we find out, while we're in spoiler territory, the reason we find out that she's broken is because she's lost a baby. And, you know, it's because she cannot have another baby. So what's the cause for her depression is her infertility. And then the reason why she gets all better is because this very caricature-like manly man shows up and fixes her home. So it's kind of telling
and
you
that... And by the way, he supposedly killed someone.
Right, and he's killed someone. And so the movie's telling you that the only way to a woman's happiness is by the presence of a man. I have no problem with that, but I can see why this really outrages the more feminist people.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't take it as that.
I was going to say...
I didn't take it as that.
I can see why people think that, but I think that's not what the movie's trying to say. I think the only way to this woman's happiness is the presence of a manly man.
No, and I don't think it was even the presence of the manly man. I think it was just the fact that she was broken and vulnerable and wanted to be loved. And that could have been her son, which it was, or it could have been, you know, the next door neighbor.
What do you think of the pie making scene?
Okay, so let's...
A little bit ghost.
But that's one... That's really dangerous territory you're getting into. It was like one hair away from being like giggly. I was ready to bust out into tears. I burst out into laughter, but...
I was ready but you know what?
Well,
I bought it. I was like, this shouldn't work. This is ridiculous. But boy, oh boy, is this scene effective? I can feel like, you know... It felt like one of those...
Ghost.
You know, no, like one
it's
of those Lifetime
ghost-like.
It was ghost-like.
You know, the Lifetime kind of Hallmark TV type moments. But it was a well-directed version of one of those, right?
I think the sheer determination of these actors and you know, the skill of this director takes, again, repeatedly, by virtue of this setup, you know, the stranger is living with, you know, this woman and her son, and then they fall in love. I mean, it creates really preposterous situations, but they somehow make it work, not always very successfully, but I think it's because these are really good filmmakers. They know what they're doing.
I mean, it's like the film in a way, you know, the scene to me is very metaphorical of, you know, if you have lemons, make lemonade. Well, they had peaches, so they made pie. So it's kind of like the film. He had these great actors and he made a movie.
But there's a line in the movie where, and it's been quoted in a lot of the reviews, where this he says something like, people go around buying these very expensive, and he's talking in reference to cooking devices, but the line goes, people go through a lot of expenses to find things which make them happy, and then they find out that what they need is attached to their body. Which sounds so cheesy.
It does
tacky,
now when you say it.
And tacky and sexual. And I was giggling when I was like, did nobody read the script? Or do they really mean it in this really overtly sexual way? But anyway. So, you know, it's kind of almost... It's a fun, giggly movie. I mean, it's a movie you can watch and roll your eyes, I think, while you're watching
it. I thought it was quite emotional, actually. I mean, it took me about 30 minutes. But at 30 minutes, a little tear... Oh. Created at the corner of my eye and went down my cheek. It was very emotional. So it's a really good movie. It's just shy of greatness because of that stupid plot. Like if it had just been 5 days, not 2 days,
that
would have made all the difference.
Or not even that. And then the movie in its very last act kind of distances itself from the events that happened there and goes for 20 years from now. It really goes for this epic feel. And I wish it hadn't done that because that really ruined it for me because I didn't want to know what happened to these characters 20 years later and then another 10 years later. And it kind of went with the way we were-ish kind of.
Yeah, but I think that epilogue was there simply because if it had ended elsewhere, the audiences, having been put through what they were put through, would have left with a really horrible feeling. And I think this is the kind of movie that they don't want you to walk away from with that feeling.
Well, come on, it's opening on Valentine's Day, so you have to have
the epilogue.
It's already open. Oh, is it open?
Okay,
but
it's getting the Valentine's crowd.
One of the theaters is saying if you buy one ticket, you get your Valentine's ticket free for Labor Day. Do you think this is a Valentine's Day movie?
No.
I do.
You do?
I do.
Well, yeah. Joe's turned into Yazdi today.
No, because I had the Valentine's feelings. I mean, I think that the movie gave me that.
Really?
Yeah, I connected with this one.
Make your home with a convicted prisoner.
Oh, my God.
That's your Valentine's Day feeling. He's a convicted prisoner. He's a person.
Killer.
He's a killer.
No, but you have to look beyond that, guys. I mean...
Oh, my God. What's happened to Joe?
I don't know.
Here's the thing. When it comes to romantic comedies, romances, love stories, I'm not the best judge of those kind of movies. I think the bad ones work on me. The good ones, I'm like, what's the fuss? So...
All right. I think we've said enough of this.
I also like the fact that it's told from the perspective of the kid.
Yeah,
you know, the Kate Winslet's kid. And it kind of had this, you know, the way, way back kind of feeling to it in terms of there's a misfit of a kid who really doesn't know who he is. He doesn't know what he needs to be. And I really liked that part. But then it kind of became very pat. You know, I really respected that character. And then towards the end, that character kind of lost. He just became a device for telling his mom's story. And so I wish... You know, again, I wish...
And I feel like he wasn't true to himself as a character. He kind of changed characters halfway through. He had a lot of integrity to start with. And then suddenly, what are you telling me? That your male hormones kick in and integrity goes down the tube.
He had an arc.
His arc was very shallow and very testosterone related.
I really identified with that character initially. And then he kind of petered off. But anyway.
Okay.
The only other thing I want to say is...
Let me kill this one.
One of the things I really like about Jason Reitman movies is every single movie that he's made has had amazing opening credits. Okay, every single one, really unusual one. And he goes for like very simple, straightforward
credits. The Way, Way
credits.
Back.
Yeah.
It was like The Way, Way Back.
So it was a disappointment. Jason Reitman, go back and do better opening credits for your next
Wrongman.
Movie. Jason Reitman. Yes. Ouch. He's Jason Wrongman. Yes. Sorry. Now we can wrap it up.
Okay, let's lovingly give this one scores. Joe.
It's not Reitman's finest work, but I thought overall the movie was effective. I think it was very well acted and And I think it was well directed. I think the problem was with the plot. If you can get past that, I think you can enjoy this movie. If you can't, then it will just piss you off. So I'm going to give this, you know, 6 or 7. I'll give it a 7. I'll be generous because I really did enjoy the experience of watching this movie.
Oh, I can see the hearts fluttering around you.
Hey, stop it now.
Yes, Steve.
So although I can see where the flaws are for this film, I am at the same time quite a bit surprised at how bad the reception for this movie has been in the critical community. And for that alone, I feel like giving it some props. And, you know, I think it's actually a very enjoyable, well-acted movie. And although it careens off, you know, with a runaway plot, I think it is always fun to watch in the minute. So I would give it 7 out of 10.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. A well-acted, well-crafted movie with a ridiculous plot, but achingly beautiful at the same time. This is a movie that touched me enough and made me wish for love for everyone. But if you're not into mush, don't watch it. I'm going to give this one a 6 out of 10.
Oh.
Well, better scores than I thought you guys were going to give it. I mean,
no, I liked it. It's just that plot.
Well, one of the things I remember saying when we reviewed Young Adult is, you can feel Reitman's presence behind the camera. His movies have this really certain feel to them. And this one didn't have as much of that, but he's still so accomplished, I think, with his camera work and the way that he sets up his scenes that it's always effective. And even though this movie has problems, the filmmaking is excellent.
Yeah, I mean, beautiful.
I can't fault technically how the movie is constructed, but all of his characters and all of his previous movies have always had a bit of a bite to them. You know, people who are struggling to find the goodness when they're inherently flawed. And this movie kind of was very black and white.
Yes,
right.
And
I agree.
It was very mainstream. So, you know, it's a very popular book by Joyce Maynard, and maybe he really likes the book. But, yeah, I want the more, you know, biting.
Yeah,
Jason
this was I think it was a little bit Mills and Boons.
Yeah. And I'm sick of watching Kate Winslet play the same damaged character.
It's
again
true.
And again,
you know? I think you're right. I want her to play a vamp.
Yeah.
She does it so well.
Yeah, she's going to be the villain in this Divergent.
That's right.
Which
That's
is
right.
opening soon.
I'm dying to watch that.
All right, let's move on to our next movie, The Monument Men.
Which is completely different to Labor Day.
Well, see about that.
An unlikely World War II platoon are tasked to rescue art masterpieces from Nazi thieves and return them to their owners. This is written by that dream team, I guess, George Clooney and his partner Grant Haslov, but it's based on the book by Robert M. Edsel and Brett Witter. And this stars all of George Clooney's friends. In fact, this sounds like a dream team on paper. So Matt Dillon, Bill Murray, Kate Blanchett, John Goodman, Jean Dujardin, Hugh Bonneville, and Bob Balaban. So, Yazdi, what did you think of The Monuments Men?
So talk about movies which are getting a bad critical reception. You know, just like Labor Day, this one is being slammed. Like, it really slammed. It's getting a critical beating. And I think I understand why. Monuments Men is a resolutely square movie. You know, it's a film that insists on being as old-fashioned as, like, a scratchy black-and-white war film from the 40s. And it is so sincere that many are mistaking its connect-the-dot simplicity for ineptness. But I don't think this is an inept movie. I think this is deliberately made the way it has been made. And I think it's just rubbing people the wrong way. I don't think it's the best film of the year. I don't even think it's great. But I don't think it's terrible at all.
Hmm. Joe?
The biggest problem I had with this film is that it almost plays out like a bunch of stories that my grandfather, who served in the war, told. There's a lot of little plot points that feel like, and there was that time when we were in Nazi Germany and there were these soldiers that came and attacked us. And so, you know, but it never felt like it had a very strong held together narrative. And I think if you do a little reading about this story, you find out that this is actually inherently false. There was no crack team of people, of historical art experts that were sent into Nazi Germany to prevent the destruction. These were people who were identified and kind of tagged on with soldiers. The real story. you know, they weren't, the movie seems to imply that they were assembled, you know, as this team of people who, you know, went in to rescue Art, but that's not how it played out at all. And so I think what we have here is almost a collection of anecdotes strung together loosely to form a narrative. And because of that, the movie didn't really work for me. I can see what they were trying to do here, but ultimately it was not a compelling viewing experience at all. I didn't really care about much of anything that was going on. I didn't care for the art, the characters, or any of the big moments.
So for me, this was Ocean's, the prequel World War II version. It's a good film about an interesting topic, but the problem I had was it was too joyful and lighthearted and not tense enough for the type of movie this should have been. In fact, I found it rather flat and dull and lacking in charisma. However, for me, it evoked that feeling of never wanting to take old art for granted again because it could have so very easily have been lost. I think the other problem I had is Clooney is so Clooney in this movie, and I read somewhere that this is the sort of performance that he could have just called in from bed. It was just lazy.
I think it was a miscalculation. I think this kind of a story would have played a lot better if they'd made a choice to make this grittier.
Yes.
And to make it more, to make it hurt a little bit more. But instead they went for this very, you know, vintage, I don't know, it harks back to the kinds of movies you might watch.
Tally-ho. Chocks away, boys.
So yes, it has a very nostalgic feel to it. And, you know, I understand that there were like, you know, 300 plus Monuments men in real life. And so this, the whole movie is sort of a composite of, you know, what these people did at various times. And so I know it's been strung together, but I think it was a miscalculation in tone. I mean, I didn't hate it, but by deliberately having the movie be a particular kind of film that probably Clooney is nostalgic about, a war film where the men are men and, you know, the villains are the Nazi guys, and there's, you know, it's very morally black and white. And it's not that Clooney can't do cynical. I mean, he can do it very well. I mean, he directed
Ides
of March.
Oh, like Syriana.
Goodbye and Good Luck. I mean, he can do dark, biting cynicism like the best of them. But I think he deliberately chose to make this movie this way. And unfortunately, I think it doesn't do the story the most justice by making it seem like a Saturday morning children's movie almost.
Well, it was too joyful. This is a really serious topic. And I think if he was going for irony like Inglourious Basterds...
No, he wasn't.
...then he failed by a long shot. So I don't know what he was going for. And it seemed lazy in its delivery of the comedy even. When he tried to put comedy in, it was so... Pat, I mean, you can't take one joke, Matt Damon trying to speak French, and throw it up a number of times and expect it to be funny each time. I don't know. I feel bad for Matt Damon because it feels like he carried most of the movie. And the only good thing about this movie for me was Cate Blanchett, who, again, you know, transformed. But she seemed more German than French to me. So I don't know.
I do think Cate Blanchett was... It's ironic. I mean, I think she's the most memorable in an amazing cast, but she actually had one of the worst roles in the movie. I mean, that transformation that she has is offensive. I mean, it's really such a movie cliche. She literally lets her hair down. She lets her hair down in the one scene, you know. And again, I can't believe that. I can't believe that somebody didn't think about it. I think they were going deliberately for that tug at your heartstrings, molasses, honey kind of feeling, an old-timey, old-fashioned, refreshing.
Like a 1940s movie?
Like a 1940s movie, but it
yeah, you know. The premise is promising. I mean, you know, everything I heard about the movie leading into it was quite a very noble type of story, right?
Yeah,
you know, these are people who went in, they viewed the art, and they saved the art, and they saved culture. You know, that was what I think they were trying to get across. And I think they got that across, but it was too reverential or deferential to the people that did this. And I don't know, as a result, I think it was just too contrived and just not very enjoyable because you're constantly battling a smile through the movie at things there are a couple of occasions in the movie where, you know, there are events that happen, characters die. And they should be big, hard-hitting, emotionally powerful moments.
I agree.
And I was smiling all the way through them. They didn't affect me in any way.
Well, that's because you know, even how they're gathered together, it's like a montage, and it's
yeah.
Well, we literally spend the first 30 minutes all over the place. It's this choppy story, assembling 10 different stories together, and I couldn't keep up. Now, I'm sure I have mild ADD. I can normally do well with chopping and changing, but this had me kind of thinking, what is going on here? There was no string or common theme, or we just had like little bits of story, places, people.
Anecdotes.
So Manuela Dargis in the New York Times, I think, said it perfectly. I mean, in her review of the movie, she says that all along we thought that George Clooney is, you know, the current Cary Grant. But it turns out that George Clooney wants to be the Gregory Peck. I mean, he really, you know, this is what he's after. He wants to be this like, think Guns of Navarone. Think even To Kill a Mockingbird, you know, where the men were noble and, you know, they had very sharp lines in terms of defining the morality. They were good men and then evil, sadistic villains. And I think the whole movie actually plays like a heist movie. He's gathering these people to, you know, to do these, you know, there is this mission which is impossible. It's going to kill them all. He gathers these people. They go against their lives. They go for the mission and they're successful. I mean, it's almost very simplistic in its storyline in a way, but I think it's all about the tone.
Yeah. Okay. I've got nothing more to say on this one. Anything more, Yazdi?
No, I don't know. I think the movie should have taken more artistic liberties. And like you said, I mean, I didn't think about this until you mentioned this, Rashmi, but I think if you're going to take the stories of 345 men who really landed up retrieving more than 500 million pieces of art, that's a lot of stories. And if you're going to make a composite and if you're going to pretty much engineer what happened to these group of people, then they should have built a little bit more tension into it. I think if this movie had a little bit more tension, it would have done well.
Yeah.
But, you know...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yazdi, start us off then.
So, you know, I like this movie. I in the moment, I was enjoying it. I did smile through all of the movie. And I think even though it squanders away, you know, the stories of so many men who did, you know, this amazing thing, you know, it's a story that most people are not familiar with, you know, about, you know, Hitler essentially stealing all this artwork to create this Uber Führer Museum where he was going to keep all this artwork, and the goal of these people to try and retrieve this art. It's a story that at least I wasn't very familiar with. You know, I think, like I said before, the movie has the misfortune of being tonally so sincere that it comes off seeming, you know, to have no weight at all. So it's unfortunate. I would give it a 5.5 out of 10, and I'll bump it up to a 6.
Joe?
So this movie has a terrific premise, you know, the linking of art with culture, and the fact that, you know, what the Germans were out to do in World War II was not just, you know, destroy the people, but they were trying to destroy the cultures from which they came. And I think there's a very compelling story in there. It's just they didn't tell it. The movie just plays out like a series of, you know, little vignettes from stories that people told and events that happened during the war. No overarching narrative that I could grasp onto. So, you know, it's all a little too smiley and lackadaisical for me. 5 out of 10.
Yeah, overall, a little bit of a lazy movie for me since I've come to expect so much more from Clooney. That's not to say it's bad. It's just not great. Definitely not monumental. But it did inspire me to read more about the topic, which I did this week. I actually spent quite a bit of time reading about World War II, much to Joe's surprise.
Yeah, Rashmi and... Well, I guess you do like history, but 20th century history is not your thing.
Not my thing.
And so your score would be?
Oh, sorry. My score would be 5 out of 10. Very average.
Yeah.
Yeah. One other thing we never talked about, and I think it applies to both of the movies, Labor Day and Monuments Men, is I think both of those movies could have done with a little bit jolt of sexual energy. Both of them are oddly asexual. You know what I mean?
We just talked about the peach pie.
No, but the peach pie is so... It's so,
it's
like...
romanticized, it's romanticized, not sexy.
Yeah, correct. It's not sexy.
I give you that.
I mean, you know, it should have been this psychosexual, you know, this woman hates the man who has captured her, but she can't help be attracted to him. It needed to be nasty.
I think that's more in your head.
I wanted it to be that, but, you know, it not all blunted. And,
yeah.
You know, you don't even see the two characters together much in the movie. They're just like forlornly putting their heads on each other's shoulders. That's the extent of it in Labor Day. And in Monuments, actually, all of George Clooney's movies, they're oddly asexual. I don't know what the deal is.
Yeah, but normally that works. I think it's because he's such a cliche. He's such the Cary Grant.
Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he's not comfortable with it. I don't know.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, the best the Monuments.
Maybe he can't get women young enough.
Yeah, but the best you can get in terms of any kind of sexual tension in Monuments Men is, you know, Kate Blanchett putting her hand on Matt Damon's at the dinner table. That's the extent of it. You know?
It's a war movie, Yazdi.
People didn't have sex during the war.
No, I'm just saying it's a war movie.
I want more sex, damn it. Well, not me personally.
That should be the soundbite for this show.
It's two podcasts in a row, because wasn't he talking about Yazdi's pussy last time?
Yeah.
It wasn't my personal pussy, but something to do with.
Oh, dear. We're going to get kicked off of iTunes and lose our PG rating.
Okay.
All right, on that note, let's finish up for today. Mail at movieworlders.com for comments. Let us know what you think of these two movies. Twitter.com/movieworlders, Facebook.com/movieworlders as well. And we are oh so close to 500 fans. Please, if you know somebody that's not a fan, beat them up until they hit like on the Movie Worlders page. Please, please, please. We'd love you if you did. Until next episode, it's Too Many Movies, Too Little Time. A good night from me.
And me.
And me as well. Sex.
Yeah. I think you need to rent a porn.
No, not for myself. In the movies.